one, two, yeah, yeah, hey, hey.
Get up with Claire and Sam.
Get the catch up at hit.com.au
or download the Hit app.
This is The Catch Up on Riverina's MIA Hit 99.7.
And Claire, England, they are making headlines for all the wrong reasons at the moment.
Oh,
to
really?
To do with Brexit.
Yes.
Political landscape's in shambles at the moment.
You know, Brexit's been going on for, what, a year and a bit?
Oh, geez.
Are they actually going to exit, or is it like not happening?
They're trying to, but they're just trying to strike a deal at the moment, which most of the government, you know, the people in power are not really accepting of it. So Theresa May's trying her best, but there is some good news that have coming out that we haven't really, you know, it's been less reported on, and it's to do with organ donation. From next year, all people in England will have to opt out of being an organ donor rather than opting in. So
that's really
smart.
Organ
donation will be compulsory, but with an opt-out option.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because of changes to consent laws in the country in terms of, being able to consent to allowing organ donation after someone's passed.
Well, I was saying to you earlier on as well, I reckon this is really good because even if, like you said, that your organ donor card, you're an organ donor.
Yep.
It's over in Perth.
Yeah.
So if something happened to you now, right, and they needed your organs, they'd have to wait for your parents to confirm or someone to confirm.
I mean, there is a database that, you know, the hospital and stuff can look up.
Okay.
But, you know, someone found me on the street and needed to put my heart in an esky. Couldn't happen.
No. And they'd have to wait.
Gee, that's quite vivid.
Yeah.
I just imagine my heart being pulled out of my chest.
Damn. But they'd have to wait until someone came and saw you and said, yes, I give consent for that to happen.
Absolutely.
And by that point, it could be not viable.
Exactly right. And a lot of people aren't opting in to be an organ donor at the moment as it is because it's just a bit too hard. They don't really care for it too
much. If there
is
a step of effort, people won't go to it.
Absolutely. And that's the case at the moment. If you go online, you've got to have your Medicare card. You've got to have all your details.
Well, I looked it up this morning.
You've got to have emergency details. Yeah.
Because I realised that I'm not an organ donor.
Yeah, okay.
So I went to go do it, but I don't have my Medicare card on
me. People like you who want to do it just realise, oh, wait, I'm not.
Yeah.
So it's a lot smarter system being able to opt in. And I reckon it's a fantastic thing that they're doing here, doing there. And I think I'd like to see it here.
I'm just looking at, so if you want to become an organ donor, it's donatelife.gov.au.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, currently there are approximately 1,400 Australians waiting on life-changing transplants.
There you go. And that's huge. Imagine it's so easy after, you know, God forbid something happens to you that you can save someone else's life. And have that
numerous
legacy.
Numerous people.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have that legacy of your own life living on.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, is great for families and great for closure. So I support something similar happening in Australia.
Absolutely.
I would love to know here in Australia if you'd love to support something like this too. So 13, 12, 16, would you support a compulsory organ donation system here?
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
Kevin has given us a call this morning. Kevin, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a great idea, but I think it's still personal choice.
Okay.
So I guess in this sense where England are making it compulsory, however, you can opt out. Is that probably the best way to go?
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, it's still personal choice, but I think there's no reason you shouldn't. But I think we should be able to have some choices still.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I know that there are loved ones that don't want to donate. They just can't separate themselves.
And it can also be a religious thing too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Are you an organ donor yourself?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. I need to jump on that bandwagon. Hey, I'm going to go get my Medicare card out of the car, I think.
And that's the thing. There's probably more people who aren't organ donors who want to be compared to who don't want to be.
Yeah,
so this
absolutely.
Is a great system to have the opt-out policy.
Once you go on, well, it really doesn't make much difference, does it?
No, that's it.
You might as well help somebody.
Exactly. And if you can help somebody, even if it's only one organ or maybe it's five organs, you know, you could be saving heaps of different families' lives.
And there are some amazing stories that come out of this.
Yeah.
That bring families together. I know it's supposed to be anonymous, but, you know, people find each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's great to see. Hey, Kevin, thanks a lot for your call this morning and hope you have a good day at work.
Yeah, have a good one.
See ya.
Hey, see you later.
Claire, I just want to touch on what the law is called over in England.
And Queen Elizabeth, this new law?
Yeah, the new one with an opt-out only method for organ donation. It's called Max and Kira's Law.
Mm.
It's named after 9-year-old Kira Bell and Max Johnson, age 10. So Kira, unfortunately, lost her life at the age of 9, and her heart was donated to Max.
Oh, wow.
And Max continued to live, and Max's family was so motivated and so taken aback by what this situation was. They worked tirelessly to have the rules changed, and now this organ donation opt-out scheme exists because of Max and Kira.
See, and I think it's those cases as well, the ones where, you know, you're not going to find, like, obviously older people pass away quite frequently, but their organs may not be in the right state. Or if you need, like, a baby's or a young kid's organ, you know, those types of things.
And as you said before, what, there's 1,400 people or 14,000? How many waiting on the organ donating list?
Currently in Australia, waiting on the organ donation list is 1,400, yeah.
1,400.
Yeah.
There we go.
Waiting for organs. Lives. And that's all types of organs, all types of ages.
And imagine being in their situation where you'd feel so helpless. All you're waiting for is the right organ to come along and save that family member or loved one's life.
And it's also, I found out recently, I watch a lot of doctor shows. I found out recently, it's not just about the organ itself. Like, it's all good and great that, you know, heart A has been available and it means that you can get it or something. But you've got to actually have the right blood type. You've got to have the same anticoagulant bits. You've got to have all these, like, tests done to make sure that all these things line up so your body's not going to reject that organ. And if there's any chance of it rejecting, they'll move it on to someone else. So, yeah. I don't know. I think just head to donatelife.gov.au, sorry, donatelife.gov.au. I think it's a really worthy cause.
This is The Catch-Up
with Claire and Sam.
Netflix. It's one of those kind of streaming services that pretty much everyone has now. Whether it's your own account or someone else's, everyone has it.
If you've got a TV, you've got a laptop, you've got Netflix.
Generally, yeah. And around Christmas time, they brought out something a little bit different, a little bit new, something that actually took them quite a bit to get to where they are. And it was basically a choose-your-own-adventure-style TV show.
Did not know about this.
Are you serious?
So it was on Netflix.
Oh my gosh, yes. I watched it over Christmas.
Is this one of those third point of view, or what do you call them, second point of view books where you get to choose what chapter to go to?
Yeah, so do you remember Goosebumps, I think, did it?
Yeah.
And a few others where you got to choose your own adventure. You could go to page 56 or 84.
I'll be honest, didn't read Goosebumps, too scary.
Sam, I watched the TV shows when I was like 4. What's wrong with you?
I was 3, mate. That age gap.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Either way, though, it happened with Black Mirror, which is a TV show that is a Netflix-based TV show.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that title.
That title? Oh, Bandersnatch?
No, Black Mirror.
Because you can't say mirror. So Black Mirror is the TV show, and they've created like a offshoot called Bandersnatch.
Okay, because I've seen the initial one, the BM one.
Black Mirror.
That one. And I didn't see any sort of, what you're talking about.
No,
they've made another version.
Bandersnatch was pretty much, it's one episode as such, right?
Yeah.
But because you got so many choose your own bits, it doesn't feel like one episode. And you can come back to it. Like, you don't have to watch the whole thing at once.
And then you can go back and choose different pathways.
And that's it. So, and it actually gets to the end and it gets a bit confusing because it keeps sending you back to different pathways so you can actually experience all the different ones. I think because it was a first.
Yeah, okay.
So they wanted you to experience it all.
Are people being left satisfied with the endings?
Yeah, people were like, this is pretty cool. You know, you don't see this kind of thing on TV. And it would take a lot of work behind the scenes for it to happen.
TV is known as being passive, so it's great that they're doing something
like this. Exactly. Now, look, I didn't like Bandersnatch itself. I didn't like the storyline. It was a bit boring.
Is it similar to Black Mirror?
Yeah, and I wasn't a fan of Black Mirror in the first place.
Okay.
So this one, though, that they're bringing out very soon is one that will definitely get a lot of people involved, I think. They're bringing out a brand new one. Same kind of idea. Create your own, choose your own story. With Bear Grylls. Take a listen to this.
My adventure is up to you. We've got two options of what to do here. Either step really tentatively or crawl like a seal. You're on this journey with me. You decide.
I like it.
It's pretty cool.
101, how to resurrect your career.
Yeah, pretty much. So Netflix, You Versus Wild is what they're calling it, the interactive series, will be coming out very soon. Now, I don't have an exact date yet, unfortunately, but it will be hitting our TV screens as such soonish. Now, you can obviously do this on mobile. You can do this on, I think, Xbox.
Oh, you know what would be cool?
Yeah.
VR.
You probably
virtual reality.
Well, Samsung has the virtual reality goggles where you can watch Netflix on that.
Okay.
I haven't tried it, but I'm sure that you'd probably be able to do it through that.
That'd be cool.
In saying that, though, I think Netflix and virtual reality aren't 100% there yet either.
Yeah, fair enough.
Either way, though, Bear Grylls, You Versus Wild is coming to our screens. Cannot wait. There you go. April 10 is when it's going to be available to stream.
30 days.
30 days away.
No, 20. Jeez.
It would have taken them longer than that to write the whole thing. Trust me.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be intense. I can't wait. Like,
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be great. You have
I
to actually try it.
I might skip Bandersnatch and just go straight to UV Wild.
Yeah.
Happy with that.
Yeah. It's on Netflix 10th of April.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
Our supermarkets are getting really good at aerobatics.
What, backflips specifically?
Exactly, backflips. Because Coles and Aldi have just announced that they will be increasing their milk prices to match our same as Woolies.
Oh, wow, okay.
An extra 10 cents for the 1 litre and 20 cents for the two.
Mm-hmm.
This has come after Woolies probably did it 2 months ago, I reckon.
That's pretty good.
Was it 2 months ago?
Yeah. No, it wasn't 2 months. It wouldn't have been that long, but they've had it in for a bit.
Absolutely. Well, now, obviously Coles and Aldi have followed suit. Coles have said they have made the decision following extensive discussion with key stakeholders in the dairy industry. Now, I wonder if they did that. Also, what played a role was Woolies doing it and, you know, the positive feedback Woolies have got.
Yeah.
Because not only from us as people who want to support our dairy farmers, but also the dairy farmers themselves. One of the ones that has kind of made limelight is Queensland dairy farmer Joe Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said he is getting less for milk now than he was in the year 2000.
Jeez.
There were 26 dairy farmers in his area.
Mm.
He said he's the only silly one left. And he does believe, though, that the 10 cents extra a litre would go a long way to helping us survive. Here's a cool fact.
Mm.
For a farmer like this, what's his name? Oh, no, I've just forgotten. For a farmer such as himself, if he produces 150,000 litres of milk a month, that is an extra $150,000. A month to help him feed his cows. So it's
right.
Huge. And it helps, you know, our little bit helps them a lot because
huge.
Of the amount they're producing.
Well, Aldi's doing something a little different. They're not doing the 1 litre. They're doing the 2 and 3 litre Farmdale fresh milks specifically.
Are they doing that 20 and 30 cents?
Yes. So 2 litres is 20 cents extra. 3 litres is 30 cents extra. But it looks like at the moment it's only on the Farmdale fresh milk. I haven't shopped at Aldi in a while.
No,
I don't know if they have other brands or if that is their brand.
At least it's local milk by the sounds of things. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it.
Oh, yes. The decision Aldi's made following, obviously, the extensive discussion.
Yep. Help the farmers like good old Mr. Bradley out, which is good to see. I wonder why it's taken, you know, them a bit longer than Woolworths. But at least it's happening at all.
I would say there's probably a bit of backlash or they've lost, like, more people buying milk. Because I reckon a lot of people would have been like, you know what, I'm going to go to Woolies just to get that milk that'll give a little bit extra to our farmers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess when you think about it, a family might go through 10 litres a week.
Yeah, it depends on how big your family is. Some people go through heaps.
So let's say 10 to 20 litres. That's still only, and I'm saying this without having any kids, it's still only an extra $1.
Yeah.
Because it's only 10 cents and that's going a long way for our farmers.
I know.
And we want to be drinking milk in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know when this was first introduced to Woolworths, people thought they meant as in like it would be an extra like 20, 30 cents per mil or something. Like they thought it was going to be something ridiculous.
But it is very, very scratching the surface in terms of our back pocket. So we're happy to do that.
Absolutely. It's good to see Coles and Aldi finally on board as much as they backflipped. But
everybody get around it.
Yeah, exactly. So you can now shop pretty much almost anywhere.
Hopefully the whole 10 cents per litre goes straight to the farmers.
Well, yeah, that's the next fingers crossed, hey?
This is The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
Claire, it's hard enough for us as adults, as mature people, seeing shocking things that are happening in the news at the moment. We've got the New Zealand massacre. You saw recently something else that's happened.
Yeah, unfortunately, gunman opened fire on a Dutch tram a few days ago as well and hurt quite a few people and also killed a few as well.
And even without these things happening on the news every night, it's pretty dismal. You know, you don't really want to be watching it. It's important to stay up to date with the news, but this stuff is sickening. It's frightening.
And it's worse when you've got little kids around.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's what I'm trying to get to here because it's difficult for us as adults to comprehend it. But imagine going through that as a child and seeing everything on the news. Media is so prevalent these days.
Yeah.
You cannot miss it. And to give us a bit more of an insight into what we can do to kind of combat and expose, you know, kids to these such realities, we've joined by our health and community psychologist, Dr. Marnie Lishman. Good morning, Marnie.
Good morning.
These shocking images we are seeing on the internet on our mainstream news sites, but for the kids, what they're viewing is exactly the same as us. How are they seeing this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for all kids, but it's kind of like when we look at it, we feel under threat, don't we? So we feel all the negative emotions attached to those images. So we're grieving along, you know, with the families. We're imagining if we could, you know, one day be in that sort of situation. It's very fearful and it's scary. So as adults, we already feel like that. So if you've got little kids around, they're absorbing. They're little sponges and they're absorbing all of this into their minds as well.
Yeah.
It is scary. And a lot of, especially the really little ones, it can contribute to a lot of anxiety and worry and fear and nightmares and things like that.
Yeah.
They think that it's real and it could happen to them.
And you don't want to be having those thoughts when you're a kid. You know, well, you should be worrying about what you're eating for lunch the next day.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's lots of conversation, isn't it, about, you know, oh, you can't bury your head in the sand and things like that. But, you know, if these images are there in your house while you're having dinner and, you know, the kids are trying to play, they are taking note of it. And, yeah, it's so scary to them. And, you know, if we're in a place of anxiety and worry and stress, you know, it's going to lead to depression and things like that later on in life. And that's not going to help anyone, really. You know, like we can't solve the world's problems if we're all full of worry and hate and fear.
When it does come to explaining it to your kids, what are some of the best methods and ways to try and explain it without scaring your kids?
Well, first and foremost, if for the under kind of the non-school age kids, so the under fours, they don't need to be around the news.
Yeah.
They don't need to have it on. So don't have it on around your children. Kind of, you know, stick to watching and listening to that and viewing it when they're asleep. But for the ones that are primary school, they're going to hear about it, whether it's in your house or not. So they possibly could come to you with little questions, but you'll find that they don't need big explanations. Little short, sharp responses provide reassurance and comfort to them, but just make it quick. And you'll find that they probably will be quite satisfied with a quick, truthful answer, and then they'll probably run off and play. They're very much in the moment.
Yeah.
The older kids, probably, you know, the year sixes onwards, they probably have more discussion. So again, just answer their questions as truthfully as you can and just go into as much detail as you possibly can. And you'll find that they are still very much in the moment and they'll go back to whatever they're doing. Look for their cues. You'll find that there's moments in conversation with kids where they shut down a little bit or change the topic. So just go with the flow of those conversations and don't make it too scary.
Good to know that, you know, all the solutions here don't involve any sort of lying or trickery because especially these days, the kids have got access to the internet. They're going to find out one way or another, so you may as well be upfront with them.
Exactly. And, you know, also for all kids of all ages, and it's probably good advice for adults as well, is look for the good stories in the media. We often don't report on them, but look for them because, you know, there's helpers and love and support and all of that happening right now, even in New Zealand at the moment. So
absolutely
on that and talk about that, Mel. Look at those people helping. Look at all that love going around. So focus on that to balance out the bad stuff.
Listen to Claire and Sam from 6 a.m. till 9 a.m. because we talk about a lot of lighthearted, fluffy stuff, don't we? Dr. Marnie Lishman, thank you so much for joining us this morning to shed some light on this issue.
Thank you.
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with Claire and Sam.
Australia's annual migration intake, it has been slashed by 30,000 places. So I think it was at 190,000.
Mm.
It's now going to be going down to 160,000 annually.
Yeah, right.
And it's all to, says ScoMo, our Prime Minister, it's all to ease population pressures on congested capitals.
Mm-hmm.
And many skilled migrants will now have to work in regional towns such as Griffith and Leeton, etc., for 3 years.
Okay.
With international students offered enticements also to study outside the big cities.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, at the end of the day, the major cities are overpopulated, like completely overpopulated.
You just go on the roads and you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. So it makes sense to say to people, if you're going to move here, live out in the country for a bit.
Mm.
And then, you know, after 3 years, if you want, you can still move into the city.
Yeah, absolutely. And ScoMo's been hinting at population plans for a long time now. And it's, you know, heading into the election, you maybe think it's a bit controversial, but he will be announcing these today. And the Labor Party, in particular Bill Shorten, has already come out and said he agrees with it.
Yeah, so pretty much no matter who changes, like if the power changes at all,
it's going to stay in effect by the sounds of things, going from 190,000 to 160,000 annually. And still, that's still quite a bit. Our population's, you know, 26 million. But I was watching the news last night and I think it was the Chamber of Commerce, Business Chamber Australia, said this is a disastrous thing on our economy.
Really?
So it'd be interesting to see how it affects economy in terms of suddenly 30,000 less people in the workforce.
Yeah.
And how that's going to impact, though, positively with congestion and making our regional towns maybe a bit more vibrant and more people in the workforce to fill certain jobs.
See, what I'm interested in is I know that when it comes to working holiday visas, if you want to extend it, you have to go out regionally for a certain amount of time. I can't remember if it's 3 months, six months, what it is.
Get the sponsorship going, get accepted after that.
No, I'm not even talking about that.
Oh, not working.
No, okay, so working holiday visas, you get a certain amount of time, right? Say you get 2 years or something. Anyone who's around here who is on a working holiday visa will know what I'm talking about. But say it's 2 years, right? Mm. If you want to extend to a third year of working holiday, you have to actually do a certain amount of months regionally working somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
To be able to keep that whole year. Mm. After that, then you look at, if you want to move here, you have to look for sponsors.
So this is already in place by the sound of things that this is just going to be, exacerbated with more people. More migrants moving to these regional areas?
I think that
they already have to do some already.
That's only for a working holiday visa.
Okay.
This is more for actual immigration. So if you're definitely dead set on moving here, not doing a working holiday visa first, it looks like you'll probably have to do similar, but 3 years now instead.
Yeah, okay. Yep, fair enough. And obviously ScoMo had to deny the concerns about congestion in terms of racism. Obviously, we've just seen that terror attack in New Zealand. There's already, Fraser Anning coming out and saying the migration policy is the cause of this, which is absolutely ridiculous. And ScoMo's had to, field off things saying that's not the issue. He's focused on...
It's got nothing to do with that is basically what he's saying, yeah?
That's what he's saying, yeah, yep, yep. Which we hope is completely true. But you know what? 13, 12, 16, do you support the changes in our current migration intake numbers to go from 190,000 to 160,000? Do you support the number decreasing or increasing? And these migrants having to move to regional areas. We'd love to know your thoughts. 13, 12, 16. Give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call. Let us know what you think. Should we have more migrants move out country first? Will it help our economy out here?
Yeah, we've got 47,000 job vacancies in regional Australia.
This is The Catch Up with Claire and Sam.
We've got Mark on the phone. Mark, what are your thoughts on the issue?
Yeah, look, I reckon send them out here to the country. We need more people to work out here, and we might actually get more people staying out here because once they've come out here and seen how good it is, sure, they might go back to the city, but they'll soon come back out here again because it's better living out here. I've got friends they come out here to nurse friends
to
do some placement for a couple of years. They moved back to Wollongong for 2 years and they'll be moving back here again next year. Living out here is better than being in the city.
And Mark, that's the other thing is that we do have obviously those on tourist visas who do the 3 or 6 months or whatever it is to work here, but we have so many vacant job applications around the Riverina that could be filled with this, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
And you're going to get... putting it out here, you're going to get people that are going to complain, locals are saying, you're taking local jobs away.
Mate,
but the thing is,
if you can't find a job locally and you're a local already, there's something wrong. You're not looking.
That's right. You're not having a go. I mean...
Become skilled.
Yeah.
Put your... get your butt off the couch.
It took one day for my husband to find a new job when he had to.
There you go. So instead of complaining, we can actually do some action. And as you said, mate, people do want to come back here. Even if it's going from Wollongong, people are migrating to this country because it's so great. They'll bloody love living out here. I do.
Definitely. 100% agree.
Absolutely.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks
for your call, mate.
Not a problem, guys.
See ya.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's an absolute benefit to have migrants move out to regional areas. I think that it's one of the best things we could do.
It's a win-win. And yeah, even if it's not here, there's still, as we said, almost 50,000 job vacancies in regional Australia.
Yeah.
And this is impacting on the local economy. This is impacting on all the employers. Get these jobs filled if no one else is going to fill them. Get the migrants to. They'll be very happy to be here.
The only thing I do know about this particular area is we need more housing first.
Ooh, struth.
That's a whole nother conversation.
There we go. Maybe they can build.
Yeah, true.
I'll build. No, I can't do anything with my hands.
No, you break your fingers no matter what.
Let's not go into it.
Right now.
Gotta get in.
Radio. That's great, man. That's personality.
The most popular entertainment show.
You're getting hit with
gotta get. Yeah.
Scoopla with Dean McCarthy live in LA.
That's right, the sexy man joins us in LA this morning. Morning, Dino.
No, he's in New York.
Oh, sorry,
hey,
New
guys.
York.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm in New York.
Gee, it must still be pretty cold over there. Are we warming up?
That's cold. It's actually really cold here. Yeah, yes. I'm like not really going outside. I'm a princess when it comes to cold. I don't like being cold.
Mate, you and me both. Hey, you know what is heating up? The Kardashian clan.
Oh, geez.
Still, Kylie and Travis. What's coming out of their camp?
Here's the deal. Okay, apparently Travis and Kylie are off at the moment. They're on again, they're off again, but at the moment they're off. You know, there was rumors that he was like flirting with someone. I kind of believe it. I believe that. I don't know.
They're all dodgy as hell. I mean,
dodgy as hell.
If I was their age,
themselves at them.
Yeah.
If I was their age with that much fame, I wouldn't just be, you know.
What are you trying to say, Sam?
Marrying up.
Oh, right. Right.
I'd be having a bit of fun.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I do that now.
They all have they kind of all have kids, and I think if they started going out and having a bit too much fun, there'd be way too many tabloids about it.
Oh, there are anyway, isn't there?
Yeah, that's
true.
A good
true. Hey, Dino.
So here's the good news. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, good news.
Yeah, sorry, good news?
Good news. Good news. She's worth $1 billion, and he just broke a record for $2 million worth of ticket sales at his latest concert. So don't be too heartbroken for them. They're doing fine.
Yeah.
As that saying goes, money isn't everything, but I'd rather cry in a Lamborghini.
Yeah, that's pretty much the situation,
exactly.
Isn't it? Oh, hey,
that
Dino, let's move on to my favourite of the Beckhams. This kid, and his name suits him perfectly, Romeo Beckham.
Yeah.
What is going on with him? Romeo. He's the cutest little cutie.
He's my favourite of the Beckhams as well. Don't know, he's just a cool kid.
Yeah.
He's dating Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown. Really cool. Friends of mine were like, why are you leading as Romeo as the head of the story? It's really Millie Bobby Brown. Good point. Very good point. But no, they're dating, which is really cool. And apparently Victoria Beckham was the one that set it up because she loves the show.
Oh, so, that's so cute.
You know, she loves the show.
I love the power she's got.
Love her.
I love how she's like, I like this show, so I'm going to get my son to date the lead actress in it. That is ridiculous.
Yep. Yep, pretty much. Exactly.
Hey, Dino, do we have any update as to whether Romeo is still singing?
Oh, Dino! Haven't heard about him singing for a while, but you may recall he's got the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
It's an incredible voice.
Dino, so do you. Can you give us a bit of an Oh Romeo, Oh Romeo?
I'm so bad at singing. I went to audition for a musical, and the guy was like, sorry, you know, I'm sure you would have done really well if you didn't have the flu, but I didn't even have the flu.
Oh, he was trying to be nice.
Oh, that is story number three. That's story number three for today. Oh, no, Dean. Well, Dean, you do excel at your job, and that is being able to chat with us with all the latest Hollywood goss, and
we
thank you for that.
Thank you.
Want more Claire and Sam? Download the Hit app.
This is the show.
Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.